Support for Pop of Culture comes from Stallings Wealth Management, Daniel Stallings Financial Advisor, securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC, a broker/dealer, and registered investment advisor. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
This week on Pop of Culture, a tantalizing tableau for your taste buds.
We'll stop by the village in Muncie to learn about Indian cuisine.
We'll get a quick shot of the team behind the YouTube channel, A Taste for Whiskey.
It is a neat experience. It's amazing how some things just blow up in your mouth and it does not taste good. But then the next one you try is like, oh.
And then we'll abandon all of that and head north for spring.
Coming up.
Support for Pop of Culture comes from Stallings Wealth Management and from you. You might have seen this week that a federal judge ruled against an executive order to defund public media. This does not reverse our loss of federal funding. So, you are the reason local programming is still on IPR. Give today at indianapublicradio.org.
From IPR, this is Pop of Culture. I'm Kara Duquette.
And I'm Michelle Kinsey. Today on the show, we get a taste of local culinary offerings.
I took a microphone to our first stop in the village, in Muncie. Pop of Culture is at Bay Leaf Indian Restaurant in Muncie, Indiana, in the village near Ball State University. We are talking with the owner of Bay Leaf, Prabhu Krishnan, about the art of making Indian food. Thank you for letting us come to your beautiful restaurant today.
Thank you, Kara. Thank you, Luke. It's always nice to see you all.
Well, we have lots of questions about the art of making Indian food. And I want to start by asking you, what inspired you first to start cooking Indian food?
Yeah, that's a good question, you know, start with. So, first of all, I love eating food.
Understandable.
Second thing is, since my childhood, my passion is to start my restaurant. And I learned cooking as well. So I know to make different kinds of foods, varieties of breads, varieties of curries, and we make like a lot of different dishes of a vegetarian and the non-vegetarian as well.
Well, that's really interesting. I know that there's a lot of different ways that Indian food is prepared. Let's start by, can you tell us like what's the first dish you ever made?
First ever made is, I'm from South India. There is a famous dish called sambar. We call it as a lentil soup, you know. That's the most popular dishes in South India. So that's how I learned from my mom. She used to cook it in a very simple way. When we see her, how she prepares this lentil soup, it gives nice aromas. So that's the first dish I ever made in my life.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the difference between North and South Indian cooking?
Yeah, the difference is like mostly in the South side, we use rice. And then like lentils and most of like meat, like chicken and goat and stuff. But compared to the North, they like some sweets and they love the breads, the naans, some chicken curries, called like chicken tikka masala, the butter chicken. Those stuffs are very much famous in North Indian region, actually. North Indian people, they love to have more sweets. That's the reason everyone in the menu, everywhere, you add a dessert after your meal. So that's followed the tradition from there, actually.
Well, for someone who's never tried Indian food, could you, like, what would you say it's like? Could you describe it?
If a new customer coming into the restaurant, we hear many queries that people never tried Indian food, can you give me a suggestion? So that time, like, I will start asking some questions to figure out what they are in the mood of eating. Some people, they like vegetarian, some people, they go for chicken or a goat. So they say, yeah, I'm very much interested in eating a chicken curry, chicken. So I will give, there are a couple of options, like, are you like a sweet cream curry based sauce you want, or you want like spicy sauce, that's a different thing. So I give some options. So they will choose, I want to go with very sweet and soft cream curry based. So then I will give a suggestion for chicken tikka masala or a butter chicken. And that too is the number one fast selling and everybody likes that item. So first time, I don't want to make them disappointed. So they want to try the chicken tikka masala and a butter chicken. They love it. And from then they will keep coming to the Indian restaurant and they keep trying the different things. It's based on the spice level. We can give more options.
Can you liken it to something that's a non-Indian dish?
You know, like comparatively, you know, how the croissants, like how they made it, the croissants, some pizza, something like that. Mm-hmm. So I can call it as idli, as an Indian pizza, something. But the pizza is a flatbread, but this one is like still little fluffy. Something. And then that, the initial I mentioned about the sambar, the lentil soup, that's a real good combination.
Well, I need to know more about the chicken tikka masala. Mm-hmm. Like, what does tikka mean? Is that a preparation? Masala, is that a spice?
Yeah, you know the masala.
I know chicken.
Yeah, you know chicken. You know chicken. The tikka is like a tikka, and masala is a combination of a sauce and the marination what we added on the chicken pieces. Mm. So we have a lot of marination ingredients to be added in the chicken. For example, chili powder, you want to add some yogurt, you want to add some garam masala. The garam masala is a combination of cloves, cinnamon stick, star anise, some cumin seed, black pepper, and some nutmegs. And then we need to add some coriander seed powder in that, green chilies, yogurt, sour cream. We do it on an oven. We cook the chicken and different thing. And to make a sauce, you have to make it with the tomato-based sauce, as I mentioned earlier. People like some sweet dish, something like that. And then you need to add some whipped cream into it to make a sauce. Add some chili powder based on the spice level. If some people like extra spicy, so we can add some chilies, green chilies. Or else medium spice level, we can add some chili powder. It doesn't going to change any taste of it, actually.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm interested to know why your restaurant is called Bay Leaf Indian Restaurant. Is there a significance to the bay leaf in Indian culture?
Yeah, that's really a good question. You know, like bay leaf, you know, that is the leaves. It's kind of light green leaves, which we use all the biryanis. We use for some chicken curries. That's most famous in India.
And then did you take a survey of the community? How did you know that this would be a good fit for Muncie?
I know there is not much Indian restaurant in Muncie. I heard like only one restaurant was there before, and still there is one more restaurant continuing. So I thought like, you know, when you have a competition with the 10 restaurant and having a competition with the one restaurant, it's a totally a different scenario.
You didn't open a pizza parlor.
So the my thought and my process, what I was talking to myself, like go with the slow pace, stick with one destination, mm-hmm, where demand is more. I live in Fishers. I've been living in Fishers for 10 years. Mm-hmm. There are like, if you ask me how many Indian restaurants, there is like 10 to 12 restaurants is there. I want to be a little away where the demand is more. Then we want to continue there. Slowly we will establish. From there, we can move on to the next step. So that's my idea of these things.
Nice.
Yeah.
How's business going?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question, though. You know, this year, winter played a very, very crucial role. And I didn't expect this kind of worst weather.
None of us did.
Yeah, none of us, though. But business is like pretty, I would say, like decent, manageable. But the thing is, like, we need to improve a lot. We are showing good customer satisfaction, that is reflecting on the reviews. Everything is going good, but there is a lot of things to be improved. We need to give good quality food and service, then the business will go to the next level. Since this is a student area, mm-hmm, so just we need to focus more on the students, and students cannot afford, like, mm-hmm, how it's basically a pricing factor. We need to work on it. Right now, there is no combos in the restaurant. I'm planning in a future for a combos, actually. Combo pack, like two curries with one naan and some rice. And then the next plan is like for introducing a food truck. So the food truck is really good for all kind of restaurant industry, actually.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. There's many festivals.
Yes, many festivals. We can take the food truck to downtown. We can travel Indy 500. Like, you can go to the downtown and park the truck, and people, a lot of offices, like, you know, like Salesforce, Bank of America, offices in Indianapolis downtown. So we can just establish, and that is one of the way of promoting our business in a different dimension, you know. That really helps us to grow the business and as well as the business name. So everything.
I think it's wonderful that you're considering the population and all the students and bringing them in and making it a place that they can be.
Yeah. Yeah. And really, Muncie is really supporting me, actually. You know, like I said, like, I'm pretty new to this place, but I didn't feel like that, actually. You know, people are very supportive. People are encouraging me. And a lot of customers, like, be like a family of a bailiff, you know. I know that's a big word, but I mean it really, because they are giving like inputs to me to grow the business, and they are like taking care of very well, actually. You know, sometimes I feel the business is slow. I never felt bad or something in a different way. I say like, okay, we can do it better in future. So we need kind of a community support is very important to get success in any kind of business, actually. So I feel I'm getting from Muncie. Really happy for that.
Yeah, I feel like you say they're supporting you, and you're supporting them by actively listening. And I very much appreciate you spending time with us and telling us all about your journey.
Oh, no, definitely. I'm very happy to share my journey, you know.
We've been speaking with Prabhu Krishnan, along with Gopi Janarthanan. They own Bayleaf Indian Restaurant in Muncie. This is Pop of Culture. I'm Kara Duquette.
And I'm Michelle Kinsey.
We have two of the three guys behind the video series A Taste for Whiskey with us before you meet them at the Public Media Pours event on April 11th at Cornerstone Center for the Arts in downtown Muncie. Jeff Clark and Chef Jason Reynolds are in the studio, and they didn't bring whiskey or food. What's up with that, guys?
Oh. I actually thought about it.
Whatever. Whatever. So, Jeff, you've described your YouTube series as a destination for all things whiskey, whether it is food and whiskey pairings, American whiskey, Scotch whiskey, or cocktails. We focus on the positivity of community and fine spirits. Love that, first of all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to just do a review channel.
Yes.
And I didn't want to be a TikTok. Where, you know, in order to get views, you got to be divisive, or you got to create some kind of negative type of a scenario.
Yeah.
I want to be like a food channel where you get some education, and you have the opportunity to, you know, you're not going to get all these bleeping or bad languages. I hate that.
Yes.
It's like just good, clean, expression of our passion, our love in a very positive format. How could you not like that?
Right? Exactly. And it's beverages and food and conversation.
Yes.
I mean, those are the three things that I think, you know, we can all come together on. Speaking of coming together, how did this happen with the three of you? And please mention the other partner in crime who is not with us.
Yeah,
right,
good buddy
now,
Derek. But, Derek is the kind of the comedy relief, and he kind of keeps us on track, to be honest with you. I'm the straight guy.
As Derek would say, though, he comes just to eat and to drink.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
I mean, what a gig.
It's a tough job, right?
So that's why he didn't show up. Let the record show, because he's not here.
No food, no whiskey, no show. So, you know, it really started out with the world's top whiskey tasting. There was an event put on by Bardstown Bourbon Company that basically throughout the whole country is, you know, send us what you know about whiskey.
Yeah.
And you're going to go through a kind of a regional competition, or you're going to go through a selection process. If selected, you'll go through a regional competition. And if you win that, then you go to the finals, which at the time they had 10 regions. And the winner of each region would go down to Bardstown Bourbon Company, where you would go in a series of competitions about what are you tasting in the glass? We're not going to tell you. Mm-hmm. Give us the age. Give us the proof. Tell us what the label is.
Yeah.
Give us a blend of your own whiskey, and we're going to get, it's going to be judged by the master distiller.
Wow.
Tell us what perfect pair, what food and whiskey will pair perfectly together. And that's going to be judged by Peggy Nose Stevens, the Whiskey Hall of Famer who started the Bourbon Women's and started the Bourbon Trail.
Wow. No yes. pressure there.
No pressure. You yeah. know? And you're sitting there and she's saying, tell me what you're going to, here's a tenderloin sandwich. Tell me what would pair with that.
Whoa.
So it was a serious competition. It just wasn't yeah. sitting there drinking. Now we drank quite a bit, yeah. not going to lie. But in order to do that, this came together as a result of, I said, you know what? Probably not going to win, but let's just see what happens. Ended up making it, getting through the, getting selected, winning the regionals. And then wow. it's like, I'm going to the world competition. What am I going to do? So my friend Andrea basically said, I got my buddy Jason, who's a chef at Ball State. You need to get with him and talk to him about food. Didn't know Jason at all.
No.
We met, and our very first time together, I started talking to him about whiskey. He started talking to me about food. 3 hours later, we became great friends. He hadn't even had whiskey. And after that 3 hour conversation, he was liking whiskey and I was loving food more. And then Derek Stuff was like, let's do this.
Wow. That is very cool. So Chef, talk a little bit about the fact that you were not a whiskey drinker. And was that a little daunting at first? How did you approach this task of, okay, my whole thing is going to be pairing food with different whiskeys?
Yeah, that was a challenge at yeah. first, because I never did taste or drink whiskey. When Jeff or Andrea invited me, he said, okay, well, let me just pour you this. This is a simple, nice dram here. You just tell me what you smell. Tell me what you taste. And, you know, a chef's palate with the flavor profiles.
Yeah.
Man, I just started naming the things off. And he goes, you're absolutely right. And so... He said, what do you think that would go with? And we started talking about food and the whiskey type pairing. He said, oh, yeah. So when Jeff got, believe it or not, at the whiskey competition, the pork tenderloin, he knew exactly what whiskey he was going to pick for that pairing. And hence our Perfect Pair series on a Taste for Whiskey that we do. That's what we call it, the Perfect Pair. It was a neat challenge. And yeah. I love it now.
Yeah.
I'm a kind of a connoisseur myself. Sometimes Jeff say, this is your gig now, because yeah. you're coming to me like saying, this whiskey's going to go with this and this food's going to go with that. And so, yeah, it's kind of a good collaborative.
Wow. Can you remember a time, and both of you, please feel free to chime in, when you were kind of stumped as far as like what that perfect pairing would be?
100%. Oh yeah.
We've had some good researching tastings.
Exactly. And we're actually we are bringing this to the media pours.
Yeah.
So if you get the all access pass, one of the things you're going to find out is we're actually going to be, one of our dishes will be that exact experiment
really?
That we yeah. had we thought for sure this was in the bag. So we actually videoed it and we did it. We knew it wasn't going to work because we tried it. We're like, this does not work at all. So we thought, well, let's put this in our YouTube and let's just talk about how we got there.
Yeah.
And we thought it was perfect. We tried it and it was awful. Like my mouth was on fire. It was like, this is bad. And we went ahead and shot it that way. Because
wow.
we wanted folks to say that, yeah, there are times when this doesn't work.
Right.
You know, it's like eating, some people might like it, but, you know, drinking milk with Oreo cookies, much different experience than drinking a Coke with Oreo
right.
cookies,
yeah.
right?
Right.
Yeah. But that's part of our Perfect Pair series, is that we tell you what we thought was going to go, and then we say, this is what does go.
Yeah.
And we do the research, but we explain that to you too in the video series.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a neat experience. It's amazing how some things just blow up in your mouth and it does not taste good. But then the next one you try is like, oh, holy cow. It's either a flavor explosion or it's a balance or a counterbalance. And we can get into that stuff, you know, later on. But man, it's a great experience.
You know what I like about it too is, you don't have to like whiskey, and you really don't have to like food. You know, you don't have to be a foodie and you don't have to be an enthusiast
right.
to enjoy this. I find this to be another form of art.
Yeah,
just being able to see yes. how these two things go together.
Yeah, exactly.
We know that, you know, you drink beer as just a pastime. Wine mm-hmm. has always been known to go with food. Mm-hmm. But up until now, I never heard of whiskey pairing an 80, 120 proof, 130 proof whiskey to food.
Right.
Just didn't even cross my mind.
Right. And these are whiskeys, these are beverages that you are just sipping along with the meal?
Yeah.
Is it just
yes.
straight, not on the rocks?
Just a dram. Just a neat dram.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Yeah. So tell me about your involvement with Public Media Pours. I know, Jeff, you kind of alluded to kind of the VIP situation. Tell everyone a little bit more about that. What's going to happen?
You want me to go for it?
Yeah, go ahead, Jason.
Tell us, Chef.
The Public Media Pours, Jeff kind of just said, why don't you take this, you know, and just run with it with the tasting part. So these, I'm going to give you a hint of what they are, but I'm not going to tell you what they are because I want you to be surprised.
Absolutely.
Because it's going to be, so we're going to call it the Indiana Heritage. Mm. And which is going to involve any like Indiana heritage food
yeah.
or spirits.
Okay.
So it's going to be a combination of both. So three different tastings with some other surprises in there. So it's going to be all Indiana influenced somehow, some way. And we like to call this an experience because mm-hmm. It's going to be an experience you've never had before.
Sure.
And tasting the whiskey and the food together. When we were approached, I said, Jeff, what do you think? And yeah, you know, and that's another avenue for us to get out there and share our knowledge with people on like, well, if you go and order this at dinner, this is maybe what I'll have to drink with it instead of just water or wine,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Yeah. Put a little
different.
More thought mm-hmm. into it than just, oh, I'm just going to go with my, you
yeah.
know, the usual, you know, yeah. whiskey I get.
Or... Well, and we're using different whiskeys, not mm-hmm. just bourbon. So there's going to be a rye,
nice.
There's going to be a bourbon, and then there's going to be a scotch. So
ooh.
we dibble dabble in a little bit of all whiskey. Yeah.
I love that. And that is during the VIP experience. And then during the main event, you're going to sit down and you're going to talk with me a little more in depth about what you do, why you do it, some advice, some education, if you will,
okay.
on pairings and whiskey and your show. So we don't want to give too much away because it's going to be, I can already tell it's going to be a great conversation. But here's what I will ask you guys. If someone is coming to the event and they're not really experienced in bourbon tastings or even the VIP, what tips would you give them for getting the most out of this event?
Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. So many people come to our events and they're like, well, I don't really know much about whiskey mm-hmm. and I don't really like whiskey. So I'm gonna kind of shy away from this, or I feel like everybody here is so much more experienced. And it's like, no, you don't, you know, a lot of people say, how are you supposed to drink it? It doesn't matter. If you want to add a cube,
yep.
if you want to drink it on the rocks, if you want to drink it with Coke, if you mm-hmm. want to drink it with root beer, or if you just want to pour it in a glass and drink it neat. You know, there's nothing that you need to come to the table with other than the desire to want to experience a really good time.
Three words.
Yes.
Nose, sip, eat.
Okay.
You'll hear that when we do this because there's a process to doing this.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that in detail when we're there.
Yeah. So somebody that's like, oh, I'm unfamiliar, as Jeff said, like, oh, I don't know. You're going to provide that guidebook
mm-hmm.
for getting the most out of the experience.
Absolutely.
Once you come. Love that. And for people that want to watch the YouTube series, which is great, by the way, I love when you guys go on the road and you talk to people at different places, different distilleries, different locations, just super fans of whiskey. Like one of my favorites was the interview you did with Brian Blair over at Pumpkin Pulp.
That was
awesome. Yeah, that was awesome. So if people want to check that out, how do they find you on the YouTubes and social media?
So I would say the easiest way to get to YouTube is follow us on Instagram, all one word, at A Taste for Whiskey. And then go to the profile and that'll take you to our latest video. But you can also go to YouTube and just type in A Taste for Whiskey and then type in Jeff Clark. And then that should get you to our Perfect Pairs.
Ah,
Oh, perfect. And then if you're listening right now and you want to get in on Public Media Pours, all you have to do is go to indianapublicradio.org for more information about the event. Lots of great stuff going on. Thank you so much, guys, for coming into the studio. Look forward to chatting with you more about all things whiskey and tasty food at the Public Media Pours event.
Thank you so much
for
having
us. Michelle. Yes, thank you.
You're listening to Pop of Culture. I'm Kara Duquette.
I'm Michelle Kinsey.
And I'm Jen Blackmer. The world is full of beautiful things. If we take just a moment away from the chaos of daily life, if we take a breath, we begin to see them everywhere. In nature, in the changing seasons, in moments of kindness, smiles from strangers, especially in the eyes of those we love. In partnership with River Teeth, Journal of Creative Nonfiction, Pop of Culture's regular series, Beautiful Things, explores these moments through the words of writers across the country. This week's Beautiful Thing takes us to Jenny McDonald in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Jenny, whenever you're ready.
Trout lilies. I want to tell Allie that the trout lilies are up, that wood frogs are chuckling where the marsh marigolds shove their leaves through the mud. The sandhill cranes are back, the geese, the ducks, innumerable brown and gray birds peep and chatter. All the things that were meant to come back came back. I want to let Allie know that the autumn leaves were beautiful when she left, and now the trees are budding out in every green. The days are long again, and I showed her kids where the wild strawberries bloom. The growing is so quick and condensed up here. I would need to tell her that. She loved these north woods. Her children love them too. They know the yellow birch, the wintergreen, how to keep their boots on in the mud. I think Allie knew that her kids would be all right. We all are all right. The people she loved felt the leaves fall. We watched the snow fall. And now here is spring with trout lilies. Then will come the spring beauties, ginseng, star flowers, jack in the pulpit, lady slippers, jewel weed, all the blooms whose names I didn't know before she taught me. And everywhere along this path, forget-me-nots.
Everywhere along this path, forget-me-nots. Jenny, thank you so much for your reading of Trout Lilies. What a lovely, lovely piece.
Thank you for asking me.
I'll start with a question we ask all of our Beautiful Things contributors. What inspired this piece?
Well, trout lilies.
Yeah, a gorgeous little flower. I thought I knew what they look like, but then before we started today, I looked them up and I was like, yeah, you kind of see those popping up all over.
Yep. Well, Allie loved wildflowers very much. And for a while, when she was living elsewhere, as soon as the trout lilies came up, I would take a picture of them and text her and say, trout lilies are up.
Oh, yeah.
Then came the year when there was nobody to text. Mm-hmm. So that's how that came, the inspiration for the piece started there.
Yeah. And it really captures, I think, that moment where somebody who is so very, very important to you is no longer in reach that way, right? And the simplest things, the things that you notice every year that you know that they would too, you just want to say, hey, by the way, I love to look at birds online, and my mother did too. Mm-hmm. And every time we sit, there's a barred owl's nest that I look at every year, and we used to look at it together. And it's, that was the first year they came back to their nest box and I saw them online. Was really hard.
Yeah.
I do have a question, and you can choose to answer it or not, but who was Allie to you?
Well, okay, I'm kind of glad you asked the question because I left that out intentionally when I was writing the essay because I wanted people who had experienced loss to be able to enter into this without being too specific. Because truly, Allie could have been anybody, you know, my partner, my sister, as it is, that she was our daughter and she was killed by breast cancer at 42 and left a huge hole in our family.
Of course.
And, but, you know, a lot of people have experienced a lot of different types of grief. And I didn't want to say, you know, my daughter died of breast cancer. I wanted to just express the loss and share that with people.
Yeah, I think that's also incredibly profound with the relationship of the speaker to the children, right? That there is a stewardship there that feels almost effortless in a way, right? It's like I would be walking with Allie, and now I'm walking with Allie's children, right? And they know the things that Allie told me as well. So that also lends to the feeling of hope here, which again is really lovely.
Thank you. Yeah. We've been blessed with being able to keep a close relationship with her kids. Her, you know, surviving spouse has been very generous, and we've spent a lot of time with the kids, and that helps.
Of course. Yeah.
That helps the continuity. Yes. Yep.
And how to keep their boots on in the mud. I can't tell you the times I've cleaned up after my kids, after hiking in the woods in the mud.
Grandma, I'm losing my boot. Okay, here we go.
Oh, that's wonderful. Jenny, have you written much microfiction, or was this a new form for you?
I've written quite a bit. Not a lot of it has been published. It's a niche.
Of course, sort of, yeah.
It's like growing vegetables in the UP. You know, it's a lot of hard work for very little reward, but but yeah, I really do enjoy the extremely short form, not only to write it, but also to read it, because you don't have a lot of time to dilly-dally in there. You have to get to the point of what you're trying to say. And sometimes it can, when you're reading a really good one, it can just hit you right between the eyes.
Yeah, and that's what yours did. I'll say that. What is it like being a writer in the Upper Peninsula?
I came to this type of writing very late in life, and I ended up getting my MFA at Northern Michigan University when I was 55, you know, so it's not like I have decades of writing experience to share with you. I have zero writerly wisdom. Okay. I can't really impart. I don't have a writerly persona. I just write these little things. I don't suppose being a writer in the UP is any different than being a writer anywhere else, except we don't have a lot of venues. You know, it's not like there's going to be a writers group meeting every night of the week at some different place in town. But we have a strong writing community connected with the university, and we have a very active group of poets. And, you know, the opportunities are there to write, and the opportunities are there to meet other authors and writers. So it's a little isolated, but then that's what you come to the UP for.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think, where the question came from, is that there's so much nature in this piece. And I didn't know if that was something that you had sought specifically, or was responding to just the place that you are, the place that you found yourself. Jenny McDonald lives in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, When she's not writing, she grows vegetables in poor soil during a short season. Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you. Have a good day.
This story comes from IPR's collaboration with River Teeth's Beautiful Things, a weekly magazine of micro essays. More at riverteethjournal.com. I'm Jen Blackmer.
We have yet another culinary experience coming up this weekend.
Magic City Sip and Savor will take over Magic's in downtown Muncie on Saturday, April 4th. And here to tell us all about it is Cheryl Crowder of Muncie Downtown Development and Lindsay Montgomery of Aerial Annex. Thank you so much for coming into the Pop of Culture studios.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
All right, Cheryl, let's go over kind of the basics. What is Magic City Sip and Savor and what's happening there?
Okay, so originally it was Magic City Brewfest. Yes. For 2 years. This year we've turned it into Magic City Sip and Savor to kind of include a food portion of it. Yes. Ivy Tech Culinary School, as well as Ball State University's mm-hmm. Culinary departments are providing 8 bites that come with the ticket. So they're preparing probably as we speak. Who knows?
They're getting ready.
Some little nibbles yep. mm-hmm. to go with all of the beverages that will be available. So we have wineries, we have distilleries, we have breweries, we have some NA options yes. that are all part of the ticket. We've got lots of music with the Songwriters Showcase. There are, let's see, 4 different musicians who are playing. Mm-hmm. The Cord Fed Roller Derby team will be there rolling around, kind of promoting their season. I'm very excited yes. about that. We're kicking off Downtown Idol with karaoke, hosted by Mike Barton. Muncie's Makers Market will be there. And I think from 3 to 4 o'clock, the Aerial Annex.
Yes.
Go ahead and tell them.
Yeah, so the Aerial Annex will be performing from 3 to 4 o'clock. We'll be set up in the main hall. We'll have one of our silks hanging. So we'll just be taking turns with different performers alternating in and out for that hour.
Lindsay, I know that, you know, Aerial Annex calls Magic's home. That's where you are. That's where you have your classes. You do a lot of performances there. For people that are not familiar with Aerial Annex, could you talk a little bit about what it is and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are located in Magic's. We've been there for 5 years now. It's a great spot for us. We're actually in the loading dock area. Mm-hmm. It works really well because we've got the high 23-foot ceilings there. We've got the garage doors we can open during the summer, get some exposure that way. But basically what we are, it's a circus school. So what Aerial Silks are originally came from circus arts. Mm-hmm. It's becoming more of a mainstream form of working out, you know, aerial arts expression. So yeah, we offer classes in the Aerial Silks. We also have started offering classes on Aerial Lyra, which is like the aerial hoop. It looks like a hula hoop. And then Aerial Sling classes. And we are going to soon be offering pole fitness classes.
Wow.
So that will be a new class that will be offered here in the next few months.
Wow. And do yeah. you offer classes year round?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's all year round. Yeah.
And you've probably seen Aerial Annex if you've been to a lot of events, the Old Washington Street Festival, the $2 tour here on campus. You set up kind of an, I don't know, is there a technical term yeah. for the rig that you set up?
Yeah. That's what it is. It's called the aerial rig.
Oh my yep, goodness, you got look it. At that. So smart. Yeah. Yeah.
And it actually, it can, the whole thing can fit in my car. It looks like a clown car when I drive and pull this thing out. It comes out in pieces. But yeah, we set it up. It goes up about 25 feet. Mm-hmm. It takes 4 people to set up, but we can set up anywhere outside. And we'll be setting, and sometimes indoors as well, depending on what the ceilings are like, where we'll be performing. If there's something we can attach to where we are, we'll try to do that. Otherwise, we can bring the rig.
You're ready to go.
Right?
You're ready to go. Cheryl, talk a little bit about why you decided to add the savor part of it. Why you decided to add, a, you know, what I think, you know, a really important kind of a food element to go along with all of the sips provided?
Well, I feel like it's kind of just an evolution of Brewfest. Yeah. So maybe something new to try along with that. I think that there are a lot of people who are not into drinking, so more of the NA products and another thing to add to the ticket as a value for it.
Yeah, I think it's also cool to kind of spotlight what culinary students are doing.
We are
in
so,
Muncie, right?
So excited to have them be a part of this. It's just very exciting.
Yeah. And we should probably point out that Magic City Sip and Savor is for those event goers age 21 and older. Is
correct.
That correct? Yes. Because these will be tasty sips.
They not all of them, but a lot of them.
Where should people go, Cheryl, for more information about Magic City Sip and Savor?
Magic City Sip and Savor and all the events downtown at downtownmuncie.org /sip and savor. But if you just go to events, you can see everything we have for the whole year.
We should also, before we go, we should mention that there is kind of a VIP experience if you want to add that on to your day, your Sip and Savor day. Talk a little bit about that, Cheryl.
There is. The VIP starts at 7 Rock Brew at 12:30. So VIP members will spend an hour there. We do have a shuttle, so you can leave your car there. Offered customs and rides are giving rides back and forth to Mad Jack's, so you don't have to worry about finding parking or anything like that. They'll drop you off and pick you up. And then it's a half an hour early entry into Sip and Savor.
Awesome. And I understand at the VIP event, Foxy's performing, right?
Foxy is performing.
So the vocalist Foxy will be there. There will also be a lot of live music at the actual Sip and Savor event.
Correct.
And the Muncie Makers Market, which is what? How many makers are we talking
about?
We'll
see how many she can get in there this time. We kind of set up, and then Mont Danner, who does an amazing job with the Makers Market, will come in and fill in every nook and cranny with makers after that.
So, every single one. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Well, again, the event is April 4th from 2 to 5. And then also there is the VIP event an hour before that. And for all of the information, go to downtownmuncie.org. Thank you so much, Lindsay and Cheryl, for coming in to the IPR studios for Papa Culture. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Michelle.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And now for the rest of the arts and culture happenings. Kara, why don't you kick us off?
I sure will. April 3rd is First Friday in Anderson. Check out exhibits, performances, and more at downtown locations from 5 to 8 p.m.
The whole shebang Women's Wellness Expo is Saturday, April 4th from 11 to 4 at the Horizon Convention Center in Muncie. The event will include more than 60 wellness resources and vendors, panels, entertainment, and a restorative sound bath.
Ooh, that sounds great. Shebang, shebang. You remember that song?
Yes, I do remember that song.
This weekend is your last shot to see the Muncie Camera Club annual juried show at Minnetrista. Through a range of subjects and styles, these images invite you to see the world through fresh eyes and experience artistry in every photo. The show closes Sunday, April 5th.
The NCAA Final Four is this weekend in Indy, and there is no shortage of arts and culture coolness to take in. The Indy Arts Council will host Swish, an immersive arts and culture experience in downtown Indianapolis, April 3rd through the 6th. More than 175 Central Indiana-based musicians, dancers, spoken word poets, and other performers will take center stage with live performances during the tournament across multiple venues. You can also check out more than 60 new sidewalk murals and browse the new sidewalk galleries. IndieArts.org has details.
Okay, some arts and sport.
Mm-hmm.
Swish. And the March Madness Music Festival is Friday through Sunday, April 3rd through 5th on the American Legion Mall in downtown Indy. The fest will feature performances by 21 Pilots, Zach Brown Band, Dominic Fike, and Post Malone. NCAA.com has more details.
The Ball State Studio Band will perform at the Jazz Kitchen in Broad Ripple at 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 7th. This has become an annual thing for the studio band, Friends of Pop of Culture. We are so proud of them.
Excellent. The funky band Here Come the Mummies will perform at Anderson Paramount Theater April 10th. And if you have not experienced this band before, no one knows who the members are because, yep, you guessed it. They perform as mummies wrapped from head to toe. The fun begins at 7:30 p.m.
Taylorville, a tribute to Taylor Swift, will take over the Gas City Performing Arts Center on April 10th. The tribute band takes audiences on a journey through Taylor's career. The concert begins at 7 p.m.
The University Singers 62nd Annual Spectacular is April 10th and 11th at Emmons Auditorium. The University Singers have been recognized since 1964 as one of America's top collegiate entertainment organizations. The show will include songs by Aretha Franklin, Green Day, and more.
Hey, send us your spectacular events. Go to indianapublicradio.org/contact, then click Pop of Culture.
Now let's roll the credits.
Support for Pop of Culture comes from Stallings Wealth Management and from you. You might have seen this week that a federal judge ruled against an executive order to defund public media. This does not reverse our loss of federal funding. So, you are the reason local programming is still on IPR. Give today at indianapublicradio.org.
And that's our show. Our interim general manager and executive producer is Angie Grimes.
This week was produced by Luke Jones, who would like to remind guests that they are welcome to bring samples to the Pop of Culture studios. Thank you.
We had production assistance from Andrew Montavon and Stephanie Weekman.
Our audio fellow is Maya Doss. Our show was hosted by me, Michelle Kinsey.
And me, Kara Duquette. Pop of Culture is a production from IPR on the campus of Ball State University.
Sorry, I'm getting so nervous.
You can add. You are nervous. I should be nervous.